Salam dear listeners and welcome to Utsah, the youth hour on Radio Sai. And for Utsah is for all those who have that drive, that enthusiasm, that energy, that inspiration and that commitment to make a difference around us. For all those who are young in their heart for Sai, who are bubbling in energy for Sai, who are celebrating Sai in their lives. A week ago, we had a beautiful Utsah moment in Prashantinam, wherein all the former students of Bhagwan's University who are now serving in his institutions, be it the colleges or schools or the Sadhana Trust or the canteens, the shopping complex, of course, Radio Sai, all of them came together to offer their collective gratitude to Swami. It was the Sai Sannidhi Day, the day when all those who have chosen to be in the proximity of Bhagwan and serve in his institutions happily, together offered their love to Bhagwan for this beautiful chance that he has conferred on us. It was of course fantastic. It was so inspiring, so enlivening to see so many brothers over the years who have done nothing but serving in his mission. And what was most heartening for me is that there were 19 new brothers who have decided to follow this path this year. 19 new students who have chosen to stay on in Prashantinilayam and spend their time, their youth, their energy working for his mission instead of a colorful career outside. And as I was curious to know what prompted these brothers to make this decision, when Bhagwan was there physically, the temptation to be here was obvious. Actually, no one wanted to leave. Swami had to virtually push people out of Parthi. I know of so many students who waited for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 6 years, just waiting for direction from Bhagwan about their lives, waiting for a chance to serve. But what is it that's driving young postgraduates after an MBA, after an MSc, after an M.Tech to stay back in Prashantinilayam today? When hundreds of youngsters are eager to start building their successful career, start living the life of their dreams, start having all those that they are always dreamt of to lead that good life. So when I began to speak some of these brothers who have just joined, I was very curious to know what is it that is going on in their minds. And what I discovered is really so eye-opening, so revealing, so thrilling actually. And one such thrilling story I shared with you in the previous episode of Utsah, the story of how Yash Chaurasia from Madhya Pradesh was desperate to join Baba school as a student. That did not happen, but he ended up as a teacher. That was his determination. I have to now serve here as a teacher. And how that happened, after doing his commerce in the Vrindavan campus of Bhagwan's University, he returned to Prashantinilayam, and the way Bhagwan arranged the universe for him so that he could join the school to teach Hindi. If you have heard it, it is the story like that of Prahlada, I should say. Whenever there is faith like Prahlada, you will find God going to any extent to be there for the devotee. If God could take on a half-man, half-lion, grotesque figure, it was because Prahlada's faith was so rock-like. It was the same with Yash Chaurasia. The Lord changed all the rules, made exceptions, just so that the faith of Yash Chaurasia is vindicated. If you have missed that story, do download and listen from our Thursday Live archives of September 8, 2016. And today, I am going to share one more such instance. One more brother who has chosen to serve his alma mater, who is from the Department of Management and Commerce in Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashantinilayam, and now is pursuing his research in finance. Brother K.J. Srinivas. Let's listen to what he said when I asked him what drove him to stay on in Prashantinilayam. Sairam Brother Srinivas and welcome to Utsah, the Sairam Youth Hour on Radio Sai.
Sairam Bishop Brother.
I'm really happy that you're one of those who has taken the road less traveled. You, midway through your chartered accountancy, you decided to come here and join for Your MBA, you completed that this year, and now you don't want to leave this place. So what is driving you to stay here, to continue to study in Bhagwan's institution now as a research scholar?
Just being that I'm so happy to be here that I don't want to leave this place.
Mm-hmm.
From the day one I came to Parthi, it's just that happiness which I get here. Nothing else. It's just happiness and the peace which I get, which I don't get anywhere else. I've gone to many such places, like many holy places like Shirdi, Tirupati, many places, but the kind of ambience, environment which I get here is something phenomenal, and that is only the thing which is driving me. Of course, Swami is the source, but yes, the peace and happiness which I get here, no other place I derived it.
But as a youngster, don't you feel you are missing out many things being here?
It's okay, no problem. What I get here, I'm not getting outside. That's the main thing. As Swami often says, like the hands which look empty holds everything, and the hands which you think hold everything has nothing. So that derives all the answer for me.
So you feel your life is very complete being here?
Yes, very much. It's full, it is full.
Fantastic. Srinivas, you are someone who also got introduced to Swami recently. You're not someone who was brought up in a Sai family.
Exactly.
But you came to know about Bhagwan, and then you got so inspired that you decided to study here. Now, as you have been discovering about Bhagwan, what is it about Swami that you feel very drawn to now as a youngster?
We can say what not. Everything about Swami, if you look from a manager perspective, you can see everything, like time management, from event management, everything from that aspect. If not from that aspect, you can see the happiness which we get, you know, the way he inspires is something which I really love to do. Like, I love to inspire others. So that is something which I really like and love about Swami. That is attracting me as such.
So what has Swami inspired you to be?
Firstly, he has taught me how to manage time. That is very, very important for me, because I was not at all good at that. But after coming here, I got to know how to manage time as such, because we have got so many things in our daily schedule, but which one to be given more priority and which one not to be given, that thin difference which we do not generally get to know is something which I learned here, and I feel Swami has taught me that.
Can you give me an example?
Hostel schedule is the best example, because Swami, the way he has designed the hostel schedule from morning around 5 o'clock to night 10 till our night prayer ends, everything is jam-packed. But in that schedule, we have some small windows of time wherein we have to do something, like we have got assignment. We feel that we don't have time. Only if you see any other institutions, they cater more time for, you know, studies and all. Study hours will be around 5 to 6 hours a day. But in our hostel, you know, our institute hostel, we have only 2 hours, maximum of 2 hours for studies. And full day for like a professional course, 2 hours is just peanuts. So there we get to know that, we learn that the 6 hours which we spend in college, how to be focused. And also the 2 hours which we get for studies in the night, how much we can concentrate, how to be focused. You know, there we have to manage time. Unless we are dedicated, focused, it won't happen. So like that, even getting up early in the morning, where to find out the time so that we can manage well. Those are the things which I got to...
So you train your body, you train your mind,
exactly,
so that you are more effective,
exactly,
in every time capsule that we have during the
exactly,
day.
Exactly, exactly.
So if you have got 2 hours to study, so you ensure that what perhaps would have taken someone else to take 4-5 hours, you do it in 2 hours in a very concentrated
manner. Yes, yes. We have to rush through. Rush through doesn't mean that we have to compromise on quality. No, because we cannot compromise on that. Because if we do that, then the very purpose of being here is lost. So we cannot compromise on that. At the same time, we cannot say that, no, I am not going to follow the schedule of the hostel. Because if we don't follow, then there's no point. And we don't have any place in hostel. So we have to balance both. And that is the most crucial thing, at least for an outsider like me, to come here and study. So the first few months took a lot of time. But once I realized that, okay, this is designed by Bhagwan. And once you understand the schedule, it is like, wow, you'll love that. And you won't feel like leaving it.
The way it does to your system and it trains you, and
exactly,
the way your day pans out.
Exactly.
Wonderful. And you also are someone who initially was very not so conversant with the ways of this place. You are someone who found everything new, and slowly you started getting acclimatized to everything here. And in this whole process, you had had your own share of profound experiences,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, exactly.
So what were those moments which were very deep moments of revelation and learning?
one thing is that after joining, you know, we generally take our stay here to be granted. We join here thinking that, okay, everything is Swami. But in due course, what happens is, after joining, we think, okay, now anyway, let us go with the flow and we don't bother much. Sorry if I'm generalizing the statement, but that's what I've seen. But at the same time, what happens, once we start connecting, once we start understanding the things, life becomes more happy, more joyful and more meaningful. That is very important for anyone who is staying here. There are many such moments where I felt the love of Bhagwan in many ways, not even one way I can say, starting from Suprabhatam to night prayer and even in food, even in going to classes, everywhere, everywhere I felt His presence, I felt His love. Feeling presence is something which we say a lot, but in one of the discourses Swami says that, see, when you say that Bhagwan is omnipresent, you just say that, but you don't mean that. And He says that only one who has, you know, just experienced that, even for a small bit of time, is only allowed to speak. So, after that, I got convinced, okay, let me feel that. Unless I feel, there is no point in just giving, you know, experiences or talks. It's baseless. So, after that, I started experiencing and I started to discover. And that's how I started to connect to Swami in a lot of ways.
What was that experience like and what were you blessed with?
Yeah, one of the experiences which I would like to share, it was during first year of my MBA, wherein something happened. I don't know what exactly had happened, but I lost interest in having food. And I used to skip meals and all the dining sessions, lunch, everything I used to skip. And even when I used to go, I used to have very little amount of rice or one chapati like that. So one night in one of the dinner sessions, one of the seniors asked me, why are you eating so less? Are you okay? Is it everything fine with you? Then I said, no, everything is fine. I'm just okay. I don't want to eat. Then he further said, no, there must be something. I said, no, I don't know. I lost interest. I'm not feeling well. I don't want to eat. And one of the thoughts which was going back of my mind is like, no one is there to look after to me. So why should I bother no more? So it's okay. No one is going to ask or no one is going to question. So next day, that night I slept and next day before getting up for Suprabhatam, I had a dream in which Swami comes. That point of time actually in our reception block, a new table was made and it was kept with full nice marble on it. So in that dream Swami came and He was sitting on the other side of reception and He was just looking at the table and He was just seeing the how the drawers are and He just took out one of the drawers and He was not happy with the way His keys were placed there. And He looked at me and said, kuch achha nahi hai, meaning nothing is properly kept here. But again He went on to say that table bagundi kada, meaning the table is nice, no? I said, okay, yes. And then I found one other boy standing next to me. So he offered a tray of full dry fruits with some vibhuti and all. He offered to Swami. Swami accepted it and blessed it. And I was standing next to Him, but Swami was not looking at me. And suddenly Swami in that dream started waving His hands and started creating something. I don't know what it was. And at that point of time, suddenly Swami looked at me. So much so that I still can feel the looks. And so piercing it was, like, my God, I cannot tell that. And He started looking at me and He asked me, Elagunno, meaning, how are you? I said, Swami, Bagunnanu, meaning, I'm fine. Then Swami was not happy. He said, Ledu, Bahu Ledu, you're not fine. Then He asked me, Bhojnam Chestnava, meaning, are you having food? I said, yes, Swami. Then He says, no, you're not having food. Bhojnam Chayat Ledu. Then I couldn't say anything. I was point blank and I was looking at Him. He was looking at me. It just went on for a few minutes. And there was a dead silence in that dream. Then I bent forward to Swami. And so much so that I still feel that, you know, the touch of His hair, so nice it was. And then I went on asking Swami, Swami, Meer Atla Unnaru, meaning, how are you, Swami? Then Swami said that, Bane Unnanu, means, I'm okay. Then I was not happy with the answer. Then I said, Swami, my mother says, there's a difference between, I'm okay and I'm fine. Meaning, in Telugu I will say that, Amma Cheptundi, Bagane Unnanu Ki, Bagunnanu Ki Teda Undi. Then, after that statement, Swami was so bright and suddenly He was so energetic and said, see, Swami Eppudu Baguntaru. He repeated this for 3 times. Meaning, Swami is always fine. And He repeated this for 3 times and He said, see, in hostel, హాస్టల్లో బాగా తినాలా బాగా ఉండాలా, మీనింగ్ యూ షుడ్ ఈట్ వెల్ అండ్ స్టే వెల్ ఇన్ ద హాస్టల్. సో దట్ ఈస్ ద ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ అండ్ ఐ గాట్ అప్ సడన్లీ ఐ గాట్ అప్ బట్ దట్ డే ఐ రియలైజ్ దట్ హాస్టల్ వేర్ వీ స్టే ఇస్ డిజైన్డ్ బై స్వామి జస్ట్ బికాస్ ఫిజికలీ నౌ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ దేర్ డజంట్ మీన్ దట్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ లుకింగ్ ఎట్ అస్ అండ్ ద లవ్ ఈస్ మిస్సింగ్. హీ ఈస్ సో వెరీ మచ్ ప్రెసెంట్ అండ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వీ డూ వీ హ్యావ్ టు బి వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్ దట్ యు నో స్వామి ఈస్ దేర్ అండ్ హీ ఈస్ లుకింగ్ ఎట్ each and every activity what we do. So
and you are blessed with this because you started this process of trying to experience him in everything.
Exactly, that was something from then to till date whatever I do, because now being a research scholar I have been given a duty to take care of 9 children. I am the room teacher, so when I take care of those students I feel very happy. I think, oh my god, these are Swami's. Now till last year we used to say you are all Swami's children, now I am in that position alone. I have to take care of Swami's children. So the shift. But at the same time, I feel, oh my God, they are Swami's children. We have to take care of them properly. We cannot take them as granted just because we are here for a few years and they are new. So we cannot compromise. We have to be very careful, because I always feel if Swami was there physically and something goes wrong and if he asks me, what will I say? So I have to be very careful with that respect. So that is something which drives me every day.
Amazing. There's a moment you begin to start that process of feeling him, he reinforces that with amazing moments, right? Amazing experiences. And then that cycle only just continues and that whole thing gets so strongly reinforced in you, isn't it?
Correct.
Amazing. And you also had a very profound moment at the Samadhi,
yes.
At the Sannidhi.
Exactly. It was after joining my MBA, it was Janmashtami 2013. No, before that also I came, I saw Swami physically. Again, when in 2011 I came, I felt little disturbed by seeing, you know, Kulwant Hall little, not so much, you know, rushed and all. So it was quite empty. I thought, what is this? What has happened? Then again I came for birthday. It was quite decent. It was enough. The surroundings and the ambience was quite good. But again I joined and I felt, though I joined, I knew that Swami is there with me. I started feeling that loneliness, started feeling the, you know, the absence of Swami's physical body, physical form. And I used to feel Swami is not there, only this Samadhi is there. I don't know whether there is some power there in Samadhi and all, because it's just, it appeared to me like a, you know, marble structure, you know, 6x9 or 9x6, whatever it is, the dimension. So it was on Krishna Janmashtami day, that early in the morning, again I got a dream, wherein the same Kulwant Hall setup, the same Kulwant Hall, instead of having the Samadhi which we have, as it is now, it was not like that, but it was like Shirdi Sai Baba Samadhi, if someone has seen, I don't know. It was like rectangular, this thing, 3x6 or 3x9 dimension. It was a rectangular thing and it was like Shirdi Baba Samadhi. And it so happened that I could open that upper part of Samadhi. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I opened, I found many precious gems, stones filled, you know, in that Samadhi. And I was wonderstruck, what is this? So many gems, you know, stones and all. And then I started picking up one by one. After I picked up few stones, I found Swami's face, bright, smiling at me. And Swami was not old. He was very young, around maybe 30 to 35 years old. So bright, and he was smiling at me. And I was stunned. And I said, Swami, kya kar rahe ho? You are sleeping here, you are smiling at me, what is this? Then I was just looking at him, and suddenly I felt a tap on my left shoulder. And then when I turned back, I see one more Swami there standing. And the Swami who was standing behind me, he was a little old. Maybe when the way Swami looks around, you know, 2000, 2001, the way he looks. Swami was looking like that. And I was a little confused. Like, Swami is there and here, what is this? Who is what? Who is real and who is unreal? Whether Swami is there or Swami is standing, I was utter confused. Then when I was looking like that, the Swami who is standing behind me, our Swami, he pointed towards himself with his index finger, right hand index finger. He pointed towards himself and again he pointed towards Samadhi. And again like that he did, and he said, both are the same. This body and that Samadhi, both are the same. So that actually made me feel, and okay, fine. This is not some marble structure. When Swami has told that this and that is the same, this body and Samadhi is same. So that drives me every day for Mandir. Even though, you know, at times, due to our academic pressure, at times I felt like sleeping in hostel. I felt, okay, let me take rest. But then again, this thought came to me, no, no. Because we don't know till when we'll get this opportunity of going to Mandir, where Swami was there for many years, and 85 years he was there, and we never know till when we'll get the opportunity to bow down to Samadhi and touch. You know, we may not get sparshan of that physical body, but we have got the opportunity to have sparshan of that divine sannidhi. So that is something which drives me every day to come to Mandir and touch the divine sannidhi and take namaskar of Swami. That way I connect to Swami.
Wonderful. In fact, two thoughts come to my mind. One thing is, you know, a few days ago, they renamed the Samadhi as Sannidhi. And it is so appropriate because you are actually in the proximity of the divine. You are in the presence of the divine. And that has been your experience. He made it come alive to you.
Exactly.
I think, in as real as it can be in the present circumstances. And the second thing that comes to me is very important was, as you mentioned, that if you look at Shirdi, a few years after Shirdi Baba left, you had the opportunity to actually go to the Samadhi. In fact, the Samadhi was not so elaborate. Shirdi was a very small shrine. You could actually go and touch the shrine. You could actually sit there and, you know, do your pujas. But with time, now if you see, no one can actually touch the Samadhi.
Exactly.
And as you very rightly said, just like when Bhagwan was physically there, the kind of physical proximity you had with him in the 50s or 60s, you know, you never got that in the 70s or 80s. And what was there in 70s, 80s was not there in 2000.
Exactly.
And what was there in 2000 was totally lost in 2010. And it's the same with the Sannidhi too. Today you have the chance to offer your salutations and touch the lotus feet of Bhagwan, who is eternally there. And we should never miss a chance to make most of this opportunity. You don't know what is in store for us. Whatever is the moment we have got, we have to preserve it.
Exactly. Correct.
Wonderful. Fantastic, brother. I'm really happy that you are happy deciding to stay back and continue, and you're doing your research in rural finance. That's a very interesting subject. Yes. Can you please, before you leave, share with us what has been your inspiration to do your research in rural finance?
Actually, I never thought of going to do research. I thought, okay, when I joined, I thought I'll finish my MBA, go out and do some job. But again, when I joined our institute, then I felt, okay, this is something which I cannot leave. So let me be here. I don't know how. Initially, I used to think that I'll do PhD and all. But as time passed, then I thought, okay, PhD is not my cup of tea. Let me not do that. And see that Swami also plays very, you know, uniquely. The one which you don't want, Swami will make sure that you do that. I was least interested. I actually thought of joining school and all, but things didn't go well. I mean, like, it didn't happen. I didn't get an opportunity because there were some other issues. But, you know, Swami made me to come into PhD, and rural finance is also something which I never thought. Initially, I thought I'll do something related to leadership or organizational behavior. But I thought, okay, being here, what is the point in doing something? You know, some companies I have to go. I don't know whether I'll be getting, you know, access to all those things. But why not let me see something which is there in my surroundings? So many village people we go and see during Grama Seva. And I thought, okay, fine, let me see something. It was one of the Mandir sessions when I was sitting and I was just meditating. I was just thinking, Swami, what to do? PhD is something, okay, what area to take up? And something like rural. The only thing, I don't know, rural finance, rural development. There are so many things in rural development. If you see rural finance, rural development, rural health, so many things are there. But only one thing was like rural. So something was running in my mind, rural, as if someone is, you know, putting that thought into my mind. Then I guess, okay, fine, rural. And next day I went to college and I was speaking to our HOD. That time he was just sharing, why don't you take, there are some options. When I said rural, he said, there are many such options, rural development, rural finance. Then rural finance was something which I got very much interested in, and that's how I took up that area to do my research into that.
Wonderful. All the best, and I hope something beautiful will come out of it.
Thank you very much.
And which will definitely make you feel very good and also help society at large.
And I hope the same.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Sairam. So that was Brother K.J. Srinivas from the Department of Management and Commerce, Prashant Nilayam, and someone who has chosen to take the road less traveled. And through his experience, we also knew the glory of Sai Sannidhi. We know about Bhagwan's presence in Sai Kulwant Hall, but look at the way Bhagwan makes it come alive for whoever needs that confirmation. That is the glory of Sai Sannidhi in Prashanti. That is the glory of Puttaparthi. In earlier episodes of Utsah, I had narrated snippets of how the first Mandir of Shantilam came into being. The city of Dwaraka disappeared into the ocean of Arabian Sea, but Swami created Prashantilam out of the sandy bed of River Chitravati. In fact, in June 1950, Swami had announced that he is going to name his new Mandir as Prashantilam to a devotee called Lakshmaya. And one day while walking through the hillocks that skirted Puttaparthi, on the way pointing to the south, Swami said, "The Sai Pravesh, the advent of Sai will transform the region into Prashanti Pradesh, a region of highest peace. There will rise a new bhavan, a new mansion. Lakhs of people from all over India, why India, all over the world will gather and come and wait for Sai's darshan here, just for a sight of Sai." This is what Bhagwan told Lakshmaya. And when Bhagwan said it, Lakshmaya was skeptical. It was 1950, he did not believe what Swami was saying, because there was hardly any devotees then, maybe 100 or 2 in a given day, and there was no mandir yet, no roads, no communication, no accommodation, nothing. And looking at the puzzled face and disbelieving face of Lakshmaya, Swami said, "Lakshmaya, you will have to believe it when you have to stand where you are now just to catch a glimpse of me standing on the porch of that bhavan. That day you will know." So that was the divine will. And there were many challenges too in the accomplishment of this divine will. When the Lord comes down in human form, He acts like a human. He shows us how to live the best way being a human. So when the Mandir construction started, sometimes funds were not enough. There were a lot of difficulty in transportation. It is one thing to build a mansion in a city and quite a different ballgame to do it in a place where there are no roads, in a remote hamlet where there are only bullock cart tracks, no electricity. The India had just attained independence then. Just 3 years since India became a free country, more than 80% of India perhaps was living in the villages. But the Mandir happened. In 1950, the huge Mandir which is there even now, it's just that it has got a bit embellished over the years. So how did it happen? It was Swami's Utsah that made it happen. It was His enthusiasm that added life to people's enthusiasm. People found in themselves untapped strength and abilities. Baba was that master energizer. Swami did everything to keep people inspired. At times, a few extraordinary things too, just so that people believe in their immense potential. It was not for sheer wonder or joy, but to let people know that these powers lay hidden in them too, and they are waiting to be tapped. People worked for 2 long years, despite many odds, in spite of absolutely zero facilities. Swami was both the expert architect and the engineer. Swami suggested better designing, better method of construction, better aesthetics. In fact, the professionals from Bangalore, Mysore and Chennai, they were all dumbstruck. They were stunned when Bhagwan was guiding the project. But the best part is Bhagwan being the best personal manager. He himself made weekly payments to laborers and got their signatures on the vouchers. Can you believe that? And the Mandir was eventually ready. 220 feet by 150 feet with its plinth area more than 750 square feet. The inauguration day was fixed. It was the 25th birthday of Bhagwan, November 23rd, 1950. So many devotees joined to prepare for that day, to prepare this place for that momentous occasion. Poles were erected, festoons and buntings appeared. There were colored paper and flowers everywhere. In those days, Swami even sent invitation cards to some important people who helped a lot in the making of the Mandir. Finally, November 23rd, 1950 arrived. It was a Thursday. Everything happened in such unbelievable short period of time, but happened with so much energy. The most interesting thing is, every person thought that it is their own work, their own home. All the village drains and mud roads were cleaned. There were welcome arches along the procession route from the old Mandir to the new building. And at that time, the route was very narrow. And in between the route where this green paddy fields bordered by thorny shrubs, that was what was Prashantinilam then. A generator was brought for electric power and Swami was taken in a procession. There was Purna Kumbham and chanting and everything. And as soon as Swami reached the new Mandir, he was garlanded by senior devotees. And the moment Bhagwan stepped his right foot onto the new edifice, onto the new bhavan, his new mansion, Satya Sai Baba ki jai, Satya Sai Baba ki jai filled the air. Then, after Bhagwan was seated on his decorated chair, Bhagwan, devotees offered Pada Puja to Bhagwan, worshipping the feet of the Lord with turmeric and kumkum and flowers and so on. In those days, Swami allowed some of those rituals. Ultimately, these rituals are what keep us connected to the spiritual within us, isn't it? Finally, at the conclusion of this puja, they offered aarti to Bhagwan, they broke coconuts and so on, and then Swami rose to speak and he started with reciting a shloka in Telugu and explaining the meaning of the shloka. Swami said, I am naming this newly constructed mandir as Prashanti Nilayam. Prashanti means supreme peace and Nilaya means abode. This place will give you the mind of a newly born child. It will cleanse you of all impurity. The human birth is acquired after numerous births as different species. It is our thoughts which are responsible for our next birth. But what Puttaparthi will do is to ensure that you are out of this cycle of birth after birth. Putta means birth, Parthi means change or no. Puttaparthi therefore means that which ensures that you have no rebirth. And then Bhagwan emphatically declared, anybody who stays in Prashantilayam and practices meditation, bhajan or any spiritual sadhana will not have rebirth. That is what Bhagwan said on the day of the inauguration of Prashantinilayam. Anybody who stays in Prashantinilayam and practices spiritual sadhana with sincerity will not be born again. So that is the glory of Puttaparthi. And this is the glory that is only glowing and growing by the day. We don't decide to be in Puttaparthi. Puttaparthi decides whom it wants to be here. And a testimony to this is the story of Yash Chaurasia, which I had last time. You heard Brother K.J. Srinivas and each of the 19 students who have now decided to dedicate their lives to Bhagwan for his mission, and hundreds of devotees and other so many souls who are in this place, whose hearts are in this place, whose thoughts are in this place. It is so amazing when you listen to each of them. How in awesome ways Swami touches the deepest core of everyone's being, and that touch is so life-changing that even though they have never seen or touched him physically, to them everything other than him seems tasteless. And they know only if Swami is there in their life, it will acquire meaning. And that is what has been happening for decades and decades now. Even before Swami started schools and colleges, it was happening. There were always youngsters whom Bhagwan was molding. How Swami creates Dhruvas and Prahladas out of ordinary students. How he molds their minds to shine like the mind of Shankara. How he works on their hearts so that they beat like the heartbeat of Buddha. How their limbs long to serve, seeing him in everything and everyone, like the hands of Janaka. And Bhagwan did everything, not by preaching, but by demonstrating, by living that life himself. So beautifully Bhagwan used to sing, love is my form.
So that was the school of children of the Ishwaramma school, Prashant Nilayam, who rendered this beautiful song that Bhagwan has sung so many times. And when you think about it, this is what precisely Swami has done. And now, Bhagwan has also ensured that every student's life is a saga of love. Every student's life is a saga where truth is their breath, where their lives are His message. And Swami has done it so interestingly. He did not give sermons and demand a particular behavior. Actually, never anything happened by Bhagwan through force. Actually, it was opposite. Exactly the opposite. Just like even when he told students to leave Puttaparthi after education, they would not leave. Because who would want to miss leaving Bhagwan? But if you think about it, in these days, who would want to miss the precious time of their youth and delay starting their career? But here, students are made of a different mold. And the interesting thing is, it happened so naturally. They grew up in an environment where students strive not just to excel in physics and chemistry, but also in purity and integrity. They compete not to outdo each other in academics. In academics, actually, they cooperate with each other. But they compete when it comes to devotion and discipline and surrender. They want to be chosen by the Lord. They compete to feel Him more, to experience Him more. And that is the touch of the Divine Master. Elsewhere, youth is spent in trying to enjoy the so-called good things of life. And then starting to build enough resources to enjoy life to its fullest extent. Until you reach a point when you suddenly realize that, oh, this is not all what life is. There's much more to life. But here is an institution and an ambience where this learning comes so naturally, so spontaneously, and Bhagwan does it so nonchalantly, so seamlessly that no one even realizes what is happening to them. I remember when I asked a student who had done his engineering in IIT why he was so interested to join Prashant Nilayam for MBA, and he said it is because Bhagwan has made spirituality fun. He said he wanted to have a great life full of fun and meaning, and that is what he will get here. That is the reason why he joined. And that is what this place does. And the way Bhagwan does it, because Swami knows how to jazz up our life. He knows how to jazz up our moments with joy. With Swami, it is never a dull life. It is never a boring, as Bhagwan used to say, castor-oil face life. No. With Bhagwan, it was always energy. It was always vibrant. It was always filled with all the wholesome joys of life. And Bhagwan used to teach these lessons in such amazing ways. Here is one such humorous anecdote narrated by Brother Ranganath Raju. And after this, we'll hear more tales from Mr. Sai Surendranath about being a Saiyu. So there is much more coming up in this program. Here is the conversation with Brother Ranganath Raju.
I would recollect is, I had one more classmate of mine, a great, very good poet, a great hearted individual, a noble hearted classmate of mine, an amazing poet, but often he would go through the memory lapses.
Oh my God.
So we were doing one program, I was supposed to be the antagonist of the Bharatiya culture and he was a protagonist, where I was arguing that why should not my grandson go and study and make money abroad. While this person tells me that it's okay, but attitude is not right. He explains about the greatness of Bharat. That
greatness
is opening.
Yeah. Serving the country,
yeah,
and motherland.
Greatness, yes, of motherland. And that concept was based on a poem of Swami, which is a very quite famous one. Kanda Kandantara Khyatina Arjinchina Maniyulangana Matram. This classmate of mine had an amazing bass voice.
Mm-hmm.
And an amazing personality. 6'1", 6'2". And he had that stage presence, you know, when
yes.
He stands you would feel that, yeah, here is an orator who has come to represent God. And he was holding the mic, the scene opens up, and here was I kind of say, the first few minutes of the program. So I kind of tell a poem as to why he can't go down, and in reply this person has to come back, saying that how great is this country. The poem starts with Swami's poem, Kanda Kanda Antara Kyatina Archinchina Mane Yulanaganna Matrubhumi. He holds the mic, the first bass, he opens up, Kanda Kanda Antara Kyatina Archinchina Mane Yulanaganna Matrubhumi. Thunderous applause in Cyclonthal. Everybody, Swami was so proud. Swami was looking at
Swami's own words.
Swami's own poem, and he's looking at everyone, and they were saying, you know, that Swami, what a composition. And I was also, you know, I was thrilled that, wow, this is coming out so well. Then, he is supposed to go to the next line. But something unexpected started happening. He just held the mic, looked at me, repeated a second time, Kanda Kanda Antara Kyatina Arjinchina. I thought, I was not really sure whether he's doing for impact sake or something was not right. Again, people clapped, the devotees clapped, but this, you know, the volume was little less. I could make out something not right. Then I looked at him, I could make out from his eyes. He just conveyed through my eyes saying, boss, poem went off. Off the memory.
Blank now after that. Oh God.
I knew the poem, but I can't take up that because it sets a very wrong note to the
entire
there's
program. No way you can take that dialogue because you're the antagonist.
And there was this glass bit of... Then he walked across from this end of the third block to the other end. Took it full straight. And he went to the other side and he caught the mic and said, Kanda Kanda Antara Kyatina Arjinchina. Same line again.
Same line.
But then Swami kept looking at him. Devotees are looking. By now, thunderous applause became little less. And now it is just a few here and there. Two, three people clapping. He came to the center of the stage, held the mic and said, Kanda Kanda Antara Kyatina Arjinchina. By then, Sai Kulanta was silent.
Everybody realized,
oh God, we were so tense, what will happen now? And the way in which he came was, he came to the middle of the stage and he said, and then I thought, gone. Oh my God, then this is the second program and now it's just washed out. Not even 2 minutes into the program, it's gone.
We have forgotten the dialogues.
I don't know what to do. I think that I'll sit down now. Tell Swami, apologize and sit down.
Sit down.
That is where I was just getting ready. I thought, Lord, it's done. That is where you heard a sweet, mellifluous voice. It says, Sangeeta Sahitya Shastriya Vidyaland. I turned around from the corner of my eye, looked, and Swami was giving words to this boy. This boy being so huge, he was standing right in front of Swami. The audience could not see what was happening. And this boy would say, Sangeeta Sahitya Shastriya Vidyaland.
Oh, he picked up.
He picked up. He heard Swami's voice, and Swami gave entire four lines of the Padyam. And this boy is like the speaker speaking behind this boy, booming the voice.
Wow.
He spoke the entire poem. People are again, the thunderous applause came back. By then, they thought this four lines was part of a drama. Nobody realized and people started clapping. Entire program went off so well. Beautiful. Wow. Amazing. But only three people knew what exactly went wrong. The class would have mine, myself and the Lord. After the program, people are appreciating us. I mean, they are kind of to the glance and all that. We come near Swami and Swami is giving vibhuti. He gave me and he gives this boy and tells him, hey, so softly tells him, hey, next time if you forget, kodatan ran, you know. Means if you forget, I'll slap you.
Oh, God.
And that is the way he says a full smile. People looking, sitting behind, people are asking, wow, what was Swami telling you? Smiling and telling you. We can't tell you what exactly Swami told us. We just said, Swami gave blessings and walked out.
Wow. The way he sets things right.
Yes.
So that is what Bhagwan does. So amazingly he does it, you know. Just think about this incident. No one can forget, neither Ranganath Raju, nor that boy, nor all of you who have heard it now, or me who have heard it. Because that is what Bhagwan does. Now people will remember the incident, they'll remember the essence of the incident. And now thanks to this, you know, whenever you think about it, you think also about how important it was for Bhagwan, for students to love their motherland. Because Swami was so particular about this verse. You know, he has sung it so many times and it is all about connecting to your roots. It is all about feeling proud of what has made you today, being proud of your parents, of your ancestors, of the soil in which you are born. And it was because it was this line that had to be conveyed, Bhagwan ensured that the drama went on fantastically. So everyone, when you think about that whole incident, there are so many dimensions to it, and everything is important, and in the divine scheme of things, everything is done in such a manner. Perhaps if this incident would not have happened, this whole episode would not have been there so strongly imprinted in the mind of all the people who were involved, in the mind of Ranganath Raju or that boy. And I think it is there for a reason, and it's another, and it is again for a reason that we are listening it today. And everything Bhagwan does it so seamlessly. At the end of it, when you live with the Divine Master, He will ensure that your hearts have become richer, that your minds have tuned more towards goodness. I was talking to Mr. Sai Surendranath, who belongs to the earliest batch of students of Bhagwan's university, and someone who has taught in the Sri Sathya Higher Secondary School all his life, and now in fact he is retired, but hard to believe that he has retired. He is so full of energy, always so full of smiles, and he is someone who has seen live in action how Swami has touched, trained and transformed generations of youth. So I asked him, according to him, in the light of what he has seen that Bhagwan likes, who is a Sai youth, and how can anyone truly be a Sai youth?
That is why I think Swami establishing this institution and all, it is not that outside education is not there, or the main idea, concept of Swami is to revive the customs, revive the tradition, revive all that what we are losing slowly. Correct, no? We are losing track of our traditions, our customs, our culture. I think that is what Swami is trying to bring us back along with the secular
education. Connect us to our roots.
Yes. Connected to the roots.
Yes. So that we can grow strong and steady.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Fantastic.
I just thought youth, our Sai youth, how they should be together and how they should acronym. Just I thought, in according to me.
Sure.
Why? Young at heart always.
Young at heart. Beautiful.
Because only if you are young at heart, you will be enterprising.
Yes.
You will be enthusiastic.
Correct.
You will be energetic.
Yes.
And you will definitely do whatever that you want to.
Yes.
So you should feel young at heart always.
Yes.
O. Why O? Opportunity to serve.
Yes.
This always Swami does that, you know. Swami always finds what is not there and try to give. What is missing and try to fulfill. Correct, no?
Yes.
Always He does that.
Yes.
We take that hint.
Yes.
And our O should be what? Opportunity to serve. In whichever capacity you have.
You look for an opportunity.
Look for an opportunity and serve.
And they are there. Plenty.
Plenty. I told you, know that bull story. Life is full of opportunities.
Yes.
Don't miss it.
Yes.
Handle it.
Yes.
Then you, unconditional love. This Swami is the best example.
Yes.
Unconditional love.
Yes.
We discussed also earlier.
Yes.
No discrimination. Okay. So if you don't have, if you have conditional love, it becomes a problem. If it is unconditional love, then it will be great.
And there is no limit to what you can achieve also.
Yes. Yes.
With unconditional love.
Unconditional love. I think one day in the interview room, this conditional love, unconditional love, a funny side of a story which Swami had told. A young fellow married.
Mm-hmm.
New wife. Full of love.
Mm.
Love is blind. He and his wife, they are walking in a park. So when they are walking, husband saw at a distance a thorny bush.
Mm.
So he said, "Darling, watch out. There is a big thorny bush is there. Be careful." He said, "Yes, darling. I will handle it. I will take care." Next week, same park, they walked together. Then he said, "Be careful. The thorny bush in front of you. Don't get hurt." "Ah, yes, yes. I'll be careful." Third week, "I've been telling again and again, there's a thorny bush there. See and walk." Again, fourth week, "Can't you see thorny bush there? Why are you going there? You will get hurt." Fifth week, "Let it poker. then she will know why hell every time I should keep repeating this. No, you see here, love. Same two people, same thorny bush, same park, same path. But what is he going? Law of diminishing marginal utility. Correct.
Yes.
So, the first apple gives you at most a satisfaction.
Yes.
The second will not.
Mm.
And the fifth one won't.
Mm.
So, like that, that is why Swami says that love,
yes,
if it is real love,
yes,
it should never ever diminish.
Yes.
This I have seen from Swami, you know.
Yes.
Swami every day is full of love.
Mm.
The more he gives, the more full he is.
Yes. The more he gives, the more full he is.
More is. And more people enjoy that.
Yes.
But we get fed up sometimes, you know, when you want to do same thing in your house, we get frustrated. We get, I need a space, man. I need some private time, man. We say that.
Mm.
But that is it. So therefore, our youth must follow this. Unconditional love.
If you say that, you know, we love someone, it should be, to whatever extent we can, it
must
should be
it.
Unconditional.
Yes. Then T, trust in God. Whatever you are doing, you will accomplish, provided if you have that trust in God. If you don't have that faith, if you don't have that trust, you cannot accomplish anything. So trust is very, very important for the youth. The reason is, they're fickle-minded.
Yes.
They're not matured. They're neither kids nor the matured mind.
Mm.
So they are in between. You always need somebody to pat you, to appreciate you, to condemn you, to warn you, to motivate you, to cajole you. Because that is, age is like that. So best thing is, you trust in God, leave it to God, and He will do the rest. And the last one is H, very important. Honoring society.
Wow.
You have to honor society. If you see, in society, all pell-mell, it is because of youth only. Youth, by themselves, they are good. But people misuse these people. Young people cannot do any galata. Old people are already old, they can't do anything. Who can do anything in society? It is only energetic group, which is youth.
Yes.
So that is why Swami youth should be, Sai youth should be enlightened youth. But they should not be misguided youth. We should not be like misguided missile. Danger. But we should be enlightened youth.
Yes.
This is what precisely Swami is drawing all the boys,
yes,
at His lotus feet. And what is He trying to do? He is polishing them.
Yes.
He is encouraging them. He is protecting them. And He is motivating them. And He tells them, I am there with you.
Yes.
In you, above you, around you. You do. Think of me. You do your job. Everything will be accomplished. Now, that is the age, this kind of flip, this kind of boost, this kind of positive energy need to be given. I think we are missing all that. Nowadays we are really missing. Especially I am also missing, where every day in the portico, in the bhajan hall, in the interview room, Swami keeps on doing this again and again, again, yes, and again, again and again. Tirelessly. That is the unconditional love I always see in Swami. So these are the aspects. When I watched Swami for more than 40 years, I felt somewhere here and there, one or two, at whatever may be with my limited capacity, we should follow and share the joy. So when I start doing it, when I see 10 people laughing and smiling, that also gives me some happiness. I'm not able to do anything much, but at least give joy to them.
In fact, I remember Swami in one discourse said, the mark of a spiritual person is his smile.
Yes.
I mean, spirituality does not mean that, you know,
castroil face.
Castroil face, yeah. As Bhagwan used to say, okay, I have to be equanimity, you know, I have to be always in balance. That doesn't mean that, you know, you have to keep a very morose and, you know, very dull and very unlively expression on your face. And I think when you have the drive in you, when you have that courage in you, as you very beautifully said, you know, you should be young at heart. If you're young at heart, then you'll always be full of energy. And if you practice unconditional love, then you're not going to get so depressed so easily. And trust in God. I think that is a very beautiful thing. You know, someone said, courage is basically taking a step forward into an area of difficulty without a solution in mind, trusting that whatever help you need will come, will become available. And I think that is what is self-confidence. You know, you trust in Him. You trust in His infinite resource and that source. Fantastic.
if you have good honoring society, we have to respect the society. We get everything from the society. So yes. What you can give back to society is very important when you get everything from the society.
Yes.
You see, when we lived with Swami, what I learned, no? Swami never ever deprived of what the present world has to offer to us. Swami never deprived. You want to buy a phone, buy. You want to eat food, you want to buy pizza, eat.
Yes.
You know,
he wanted us to have a good life.
Yeah.
Yes.
He never deprived.
Yes.
But at the same time, what Swami wants is, he expects us to live in moderation.
Moderation. Yes.
That is the checkpoint there.
Yes.
He never said, don't do this, avoid this. He never put a full stop, because he knows that if he can do that, nobody will appreciate him and nobody will come closer to him. You know that how Yashoda caught Krishna?
Yes.
Okay, holding the stick behind and showing the butter.
Yes.
And then the Krishna comes for the butter and then you show the cane.
Yes.
Swami's strategy is similar to us. Okay. Today, youth has two kinds of failures. If you see, observe. One type is those who think without doing anything. They'll think, they'll not do anything. Second one. And those do without thinking. They will do, but they will not think what they want to do, how they want to do. They get into trouble. Sai youth, Swami trained. How? Sai youth must always think and do the needful.
Yes.
You must think and do the needful. That is why Sai youth is enlightened youth.
Yes. Wow. Fantastic.
This is what usually I always talk to my students and try to motivate them. And this is my observation in my life, and I also tried to put something, I don't know how far I am successful, but a humble attempt in my life.
Yes.
Whatever that I can.
Definitely. And I think definitely what we have seen is there are so many students who have really benefited so much from the system. If you see what they were before they joined the higher secondary school and what they were 5 years later, I think it just showed what unconditional love can do, what trust in God can do, because these are the lessons that sort of got into them. And the hostel was a beautiful place for them to experiment with these things.
Perfect.
And I think once they learned those lessons in life, after that probably they would have definitely found it very easy when they stepped out of the portals of Bhagwan's institutions. Easy to live. Live happily.
Live happily.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, sir. So that was Mr. Sai Surendranath, who still teaches in the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, and someone who has lived with Bhagwan and shared this very beautiful way of expressing youth, Y-O-U-T-H, and it ended with honoring society. And that is something so important whenever it comes to youth. I think Bhagwan, in no discourse to students, missed talking about serving parents, serving society, of being grateful of everyone who has contributed to us in direct and indirect ways. And I think that is the foundation which will ensure that we grow to become not human beings, but we really truly become human. I think being human is more important than being a human being. And at the core of it is compassion. At the core of it is love in action. Let's listen to Bhagwan himself.
Papa bhiti leka pamaratamu patti. Because of the ignorance of no fear of sin. Papa bhiti leni పామరత్వము పట్టి దైవప్రీతి లేని దాని పట్టి.
ఫర్ ద రీజన్ దట్ దే హావ్ నో లవ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్.
మానవత్వమనగే మానవులందున.
అమంగ్ హ్యూమన్ సొసైటీ ద హ్యూమన్ వాల్యూస్ ఆర్ టోటలీ గాన్.
విశ్వశాంతికి దియే విప్లవము.
దిస్ ఇస్ ద కాజ్ ఫర్ ద వరల్డ్ రెవల్యూషన్ టుడే.
ఈనాటి ప్రపంచము ఈ విప్లవానికి గురి కావడానికి కారణమేమిటి?
వాట్ ఇస్ ద మెయిన్ కాజ్ బిహైండ్ దిస్ రెవల్యూషన్ వరల్డ్ ఓవర్?
పాప భీతి కోల్పోయినారు.
దేర్ ఇస్ నో ఫియర్ ఆఫ్ సిన్ టుడే.
దైవ ప్రీతిని కూడా నువ్వు కోల్పోయినారు.
దే హావ్ నో లవ్ ఫర్ గాడ్ ఈదర్.
ఈ రెండు కోల్పోయిన తర్వాత శాంతి ఏ రీతిగా మనకు లభ్యమవుతుంది?
వెన్ వన్స్ దీస్ టూ ఆర్ గాన్, హౌ డు యు ఎక్స్పెక్ట్ టు బి పీస్ఫుల్?
కనుక మొట్టమొదట పాప భీతి దైవ ప్రీతిని మనము అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవాలి.
దేర్ఫోర్ ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ వి షుడ్ హావ్ దీస్ టూ, ఫియర్ ఆఫ్ సిన్ అండ్ లవ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్.
మనము సంఘమునందే పుట్టాము.
వి ఆర్ బోర్న్ ఇన్ సొసైటీ.
సంఘమునందే పెరిగాము.
వి గ్రో ఇన్ సొసైటీ.
సంఘం నుంచినే మనం కీర్తి ప్రతిష్టలను అందుకున్నాం.
వి హావ్ ఎర్న్డ్ ఆల్ ద రెప్యుటేషన్, నేమ్ అండ్ ఫేమ్ ఇన్ సొసైటీ.
సంఘం నుంచినే అనేక విద్యలను మనము నేర్చుకున్నాము.
వి ఆర్ ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ ఇన్ దిస్ సొసైటీ.
తెలివితేటలను పెంచుకున్నాము.
వి హావ్ గ్రోన్ ఇన్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
మేధావులని కీర్తిని పొందాము.
వి గాట్ ద నేమ్ దట్ వి ఆర్ ఇంటెలెక్చువల్స్.
ఇవన్నీ ఎక్కడి నుంచి మనకు ప్రాప్తించింది?
వేర్ ఫ్రమ్ యు గాట్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్?
సమాజం నుండే మనకు ప్రాప్తించింది.
యు గాట్ దెమ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ సొసైటీ అలోన్.
కానీ ఇన్ని విధములైనటువంటి యొక్క ఉన్నత స్థితులను, గతులను, మతులను మనం ఈ సంస్థ నుంచి మనం పొందినాము.
వీ హావ్ గాట్ ఆల్ దీస్ హైట్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ సొసైటీ ఓన్లీ.
ఇన్ని సమాజం నుంచి మనం అందుకున్నటువంటి యువతి యువకులు ఏ ఒక్కరైనా కూడాను ఈ సమాజమునకు మనం ఏ విధంగా మనం ఉపయోగించాలి, దీని కృతజ్ఞత ఏ విధంగా తీర్చాలి అనేటువంటి ఒక దీంతో విచారం చేస్తున్నారా?
హ్యావింగ్ గాట్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్, హ్యావింగ్ రిజన్ టు హైట్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ద సొసైటీ, యంగ్ మెన్ అండ్ విమెన్ హియర్, హ్యావ్ ఎనీ వన్ ఆఫ్ యూ థాట్ టు ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ యువర్ గ్రాటిట్యూడ్ టు ద సొసైటీ?
ఇన్ని పవిత్రమైనటువంటి యొక్క సద్గుణములు మనం అందుకున్నందుకు సమాజమునకు మేము ఏ సేవ చేస్తున్నాము?
హ్యావింగ్ బిన్ ద రెసిపియెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద గుడ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ద సొసైటీ, హౌ ఆర్ యూ,
ఏ విధమైనటువంటి ప్రతిఫలాన్ని మనం సమాజమునకు అందిస్తున్నాము?
హౌ ఆర్ యూ ఎక్స్ప్రెసింగ్ యువర్ గ్రాటిట్యూడ్?
ఈ విధంగా తమకు తాము ప్రశ్న వేసుకుంటే ఏమాత్రం కూడా జవాబు రావటం లేదు.
If you put a question to yourself, you don't get an answer.
ఇదే పెద్ద దోషం.
This is a big mistake.
ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను కృతజ్ఞత అనేటువంటిది ఉండాలి.
Every human being must necessarily have this.
దేని నుండి మనం ఏ ఫలితాన్ని పొందినామో ఆ ఫలితమునకు ప్రతిత్యముగా ఈ యొక్క కృతజ్ఞతను మనం చూపాలి.
Having been the beneficiaries, you should express your gratitude.
ఆ కృతజ్ఞత చూపే నిమిత్తమై సమాజములో నిస్వార్థమైన సేవ చేయాలి.
As an expression to your gratitude, you should render selfless service.
ఆ నిస్వార్థమైన సేవనే ఈ సమాజమునకు మనం అందించేటువంటి ప్రధానమైనటువంటి కర్తవ్యము, ఒక విధమైనటువంటి ఒక సేవ.
సెల్ఫ్లెస్ సర్వీస్ ఇస్ అవర్ రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ. ఇట్ ఈస్ ద ట్రూ సర్వీస్.
సెల్ఫ్లెస్ సర్వీస్ ఇస్ అవర్ రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ. దాట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఇస్ ట్రూ సర్వీస్. దట్ ఈస్ ద మెసేజ్ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్ for everyone who is young at heart, for everyone who wants to be useful citizen, wants to be useful to himself and to everyone around. I remember Albert Schweitzer, philosopher, physician, Nobel Peace Prize winner, he once said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. Recently, Mother Teresa became Saint Teresa, and she once said, give your hands to serve and your hearts to love. This is what Bhagwan always says, isn't it? Love all. Serve all. If we can love without condition, if we can give without reason, if we can share without reservation, if we can care without expectation, then our life will truly become a celebration. And that is what Utsaha is all about. We need to celebrate love, we need to celebrate giving, we need to celebrate caring and sharing in our lives, and be young. Be young to be the torchbearer of His message, young to shine and smile in His love, and that is how we will make a difference to this world. A difference that will last forever, and that will ensure that all moments when we breathe the air of joy and we breathe out the smile of satisfaction. So let us fill our life with these moments of energy, these moments of utsaha, where we become a unique creation of His, where we learn to love without condition, give without reason, share without reservation, care without expectation, and make our life a celebration of His love. That is how we will always remain young in heart, and that is how we will always be filled with utsah. Thank you so much for this program, and I hope you found something useful in this session of Utsah. This is the fourth episode of Utsah. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. So with that, it's time to wind up this day-long Thursday Live coming to you from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and we offer each one of you our heartfelt thanks for taking time out and being with us in this beautiful journey of reliving His message and sanctifying our lives, filling our lives with His beautiful snippets of love and wisdom. If you have any suggestions to make, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. And as I draw the curtains on this beautiful Thursday, I offer my salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan for this beautiful opportunity of sharing His love and living in His presence. Thank you so much. Sairam.